Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. Listen for God's holy word. Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find there tied a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as they were told. And as they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully with loud voices for all of the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" People of God, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Scripture is rich in meaning. Scripture is rich in meaning because when we turn to our scriptures, God is good to meet us there in our scriptures, and to reveal new and important things that we as people of faith need to hear and to consider, and things which God uses to bless us, to further our understanding. This week, as I studied our traditional Palm Sunday story, as it is told in the Gospel of Luke, God drew my attention to a detail to which I had never really noticed or paid much attention before. As Jesus rode that donkey's colt towards Jerusalem, his followers and his disciples were cheering and celebrating his arrival to the city of kings. One of the things that they said was, "Peace in heaven, peace in heaven." As they marched alongside Jesus towards the gates of God's holy city, they proclaimed and they prayerfully declared, "Let there be peace in heaven." It is an interesting detail, and it raises for us some interesting questions. The first question that it raised in my mind was, is there a lack of peace in heaven? Right? The disciples, in my opinion, what I believe is they're saying, look, what's happening? Jesus is entering into the city, and so there can be peace in heaven. And the first question that this raises is, why is there a lack of peace in heaven? The idea that heaven would lack in peace, or that peace would need to come to heaven, it challenges one of our notions about what heaven is like or how heaven works, right? One of the notions we have about heaven is that down here on earth, things are broken and there are problems and there are issues and there is a lack of peace here on earth. But in heaven, in the place where God dwells, things are perfect and things are complete. We have this notion that heaven is a place where God's will and God's rule and God's desires flow and are accomplished without any challenge or without any issues or without any problems. And so the idea that there is a lack of peace, that peace needs somehow to be restored or created or brought to heaven, it challenges one of our notions about what heaven is like. What do we think about that? What do we think about this idea that there is a lack or a need for peace in heaven? As I thought about it, I realized that this notion isn't so strange. It isn't so strange to us Christians, for we know that God is a God who wants to see things go well here on earth, Right? God is a God who wants to see things go well here on earth. God created this world in which we live. And God created it so that there would be love and life flourishing here in this world. And so the fact that our world is a broken place, the fact that our world is yet to reach the perfection that God had always intended for our world, the fact that there are problems and issues and hardships and troubles here in this world, it would make sense, therefore, that God would not fully and completely be at peace until our world has reached the perfection that God desires for our world. Right? It would make sense that there would be need for there to be peace in heaven, for until this world is perfected, until all things are as God intended them to be, there would be some strain, some discomfort, some unfortunate feelings in God, even in God's perfect realm that we call heaven. So Jesus comes to restore and to create peace in heaven. The next thing that I thought about when I was considering these words from the disciples, as they saw Jesus riding this colt in towards the city of Jerusalem, the next thing I wondered was, what do they mean by peace in heaven? What is it about what they're expecting Jesus to do that they believe will bring peace to heaven? What idea do they have about the trouble that Jesus will address? What idea do they have about what is causing God to not be at peace in heaven? The followers of Jesus, they no doubt had an idea about what Jesus was doing and how that would bring peace in heaven. But I believe that their notion, their idea, was too narrow and too small. It is clear from reading about the disciples' ideas throughout the Gospels that they constantly misunderstood the full breadth of Jesus' mission here on earth. It's clear from reading all about the disciples throughout the Gospels that they often had blinders on, keeping them too narrowly focused on earthly things, too narrowly focused on their own desires to see the full breadth of Jesus' ministry on earth. As Jesus rode a donkey into the city of Jerusalem, I believe that their notion of how he would bring peace to heaven was through him becoming an earthly king. I imagine that they were looking back to the books of Exodus, the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. In that book of the Bible, God chose a people, the people of Israel, and God chose a land, the land of Canaan. And God's desire was that the people of Israel would live in the land of Canaan, and eventually God gave them kings, kings like King David and King Solomon, who would rule over the people in that land. And the story of the Old Testament unfolds as different nations rise up and cause trouble for God's people in Israel, the people of Israel in the land of Canaan. Time and time again in the history of Israel, other people groups would rise up and they would conquer the people of Israel and they would take possession of the people's land, right? And so the disciples, when they say, "Let there be peace in heaven," Jesus is riding into Jerusalem. I imagine that what they believe the solution is that Jesus will be the king who will finally put to rest Israel's enemies. That he will come in and he will lead a revolution to get rid of the Romans who are currently possessing their land. And he will get rid of the Roman officials like Pilate and their puppet king Herod. And Jesus will reclaim the kingdom of Israel. This, I believe, is what the disciples imagined would bring peace to heaven. That God's people living in this one portion of land would be at peace from their enemies. I don't think they're wrong in a general sense. I do think Jesus comes to bring peace in heaven. But I believe their notion of what will bring peace to God and what will bring peace to earth was far too narrow. They looked back to the book of Exodus, where God's plans for all things were starting to unfold. What Jesus did was looking back, he looked back to the book of Genesis. He looked back not to issues related to nations and kingdoms and kings and their lands, but he looked back to God's relationship with humanity and God's relationship with all things. In the book of Genesis, we read about God creating the heavens and the earth. We read about God's love and God's care for all things. We read about God's intentions that this world would be a world where God's love would flourish and where life would flourish. And what we see in the book of Genesis is a break in God's plans. We see humanity first disobeying God's commands. We see humanity causing a rift between God and God's beloved creation. That, I believe, is what causes there to be a lack of peace in heaven. It is not that God is worried that there isn't the right kind of king ruling over a certain part of land in this world. But the lack of peace in heaven is in God's heart. It is because God's heart is broken that God's relationship with humanity is not everything that God desired it to be. As Jesus rode that donkey into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, he did so to begin his mission of restoring that relationship between God and humanity. He rode into Jerusalem to bring peace in heaven by creating a situation in which God could once again be in perfect relationship with humanity. God, Jesus, rode into Jerusalem in order to restore that breach created by human sinfulness, created by our rebellion, created by the evil that polluted this world. Jesus rode into Jerusalem to bring peace to heaven by restoring our relationship with God. Jesus rode into Jerusalem to die on the cross and to rise on Easter morning so that our sins could be wiped away. He died on the cross and rose on that first Easter morning so that our relationship with God could be restored and that we could finally again be at peace with our God and our Creator. And so the disciples get it right. They get it right as Jesus marches into Jerusalem and they declare, "Let there be peace in heaven." Their view may have been too narrow. Their ideas of what that peace would look like and feel like may have been misconstrued. But the Holy Spirit was working in their hearts that day, for they were right. Jesus was entering Jerusalem to bring peace in heaven. We hear about peace in an important way at the beginning of Luke's gospel as well. When Jesus is born, the angels of heaven declare to the shepherds, "Peace on earth." Peace on earth. And so we have this interesting dichotomy of peace. The hosts of heaven declare to earth, "Let there be peace on earth." God is creating a situation where God will restore peace on earth. And here at the conclusion of the gospel, we hear Jesus' disciples declaring, "Let there be peace in heaven." Peace begins in the heart of God. Peace begins with God's intentions to create peace with you and I. And God has accomplished that through the work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ died and rose again that we would be at peace with God. Our sins are forgiven. God's love for us is unhindered. We are at peace. Now we must follow the command of those angels that there would be peace on earth. There is peace on earth. It exists in our hearts. Our role, our mission as God's people is to help that peace to flourish not only in our hearts, but in the hearts of our friends, our families, our neighbors, the people of this world, so that that peace might more fully transform all things. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. Amen.